in sight. I have several questions. What is the highest technique you hope to achieve?
To have no technique.
Very good. What are your thoughts when facing an opponent?
There is no opponent.
And why is that?
Because the word I does not exist.
So, continue.
A good fight should be like a small play, but played seriously. A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready. Not thinking, yet not dreaming. Ready for whatever may come. When the opponent expands, I contract. When he contracts, I expand. And when there is an opportunity, I do not hit. It hits all by itself.
I am the walrus.
That's shut the fuck up, Donnie!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harum! 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 Harum!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Doga! 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 Doga!
You are now listening to Cinema Thrustofiso.
Please silence your cell phones now. It is time for episode 118 of Cinema Crespedisa.
Turn off your fucking phone.
Turn off your fucking phone. That's a phrase you hear a lot at film festivals. We'll be talking about that in the second half of the show. I am your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going? Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much for checking out the show, for downloading. If this is your first time checking out the show, we do a weekly movie podcast where we talk about all things movies. It's a lot of fun. And we squeeze in some non-movie stuff along the way. With me is my co-host, co-producer, Drewster Cogburn.
Wait a minute, we're talking about movies. I am on the wrong podcast.
You're on the wrong podcast?
Wrong podcast.
You've been on this podcast for a while?
I'm supposed to be on the one, Two Rooms Down.
Oh, you're the Two Rooms Down podcast?
Yeah.
What's that one called?
Two Rooms Down.
Two Rooms Down cast? And that's about how... That's the Three Doors Down podcast, but how you guys don't like the singer, right? So you get rid of one of the doors, it's two doors
down.
How
about we don't like them at all?
We have returning guests. I believe this is his third time back on the triumphant return. We are so happy to have him. Scheduling conflicts, you know. This guy's super busy, but he made time for us. We're super, super happy about that. Ladies and gentlemen, is the one and only DJ Baby Lack.
Yes, sir. Here I am, baby.
Yes. How you doing?
Oh, man, the new studio is lovely.
Thank you very much. Yes, this is Studio 3.0. We're so glad to have you here. You missed out on 2.0, but 2.0 wasn't that good.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It was a pain in the butt. We were living underneath a circus.
Right. I like the high-def stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We at high-def, right?
Yeah, this is much better. This is so much better. Thank you for coming on, dude.
Oh, you're welcome.
We appreciate it. How you been? Good?
Oh, man. Just lovely. Just working, you know, doing my thing.
Working your ass off.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll talk about all your gigs and everything coming up and let people know where you're at. But I want to know now. I'm curious. Are you still doing that LA gig?
Yeah.
I
just got back last week.
Did you just get back from LA?
Just got back Wednesday.
All right, LA listeners, listen up for that. We're going to tell you where you'll find him in Los Angeles soon because that's awesome. I love this guy. Orlando's best bi-coastal DJ, for sure. all right, we have a lot to talk about. Like I teased already, Florida Film Festival has just started this week.
Okay.
So I already saw a few movies yesterday. Drewster Cogburn saw one, so we'll talk about some of those later. I have some little bit of movie news, not too much. You got some listener emails and stuff that we'll do, you know.
These are the movies that kind of independent right now might catch fire later.
Oh, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one that I saw was the world premiere. So first time it played in any theater festival anywhere.
Okay.
I posted my review of it last night. First review of it online.
Ever
for this movie.
Oh, wow.
So that's how early on I got on that one. But then they also have other movies that are like... they've been playing the festivals for a while and they're going to be like coming out in theaters pretty soon. So they run the gamut from like the little independent things to all the big movies. It's really, really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It's super cool. Plus short films. I saw some short films talk about that.
What was a short film considered? 30 minutes?
Not an hour. Typically, you don't want it to be longer than 15 minutes.
Oh.
When they do short film programs where they'll do like a two-hour block of nothing but short films, usually they want those to be like 5, maybe 7 minutes. The shorter your film, the better chance it has of playing at a festival.
So you got to just hurry up and get to it and get out of it and boom.
Get in, get out. How quickly can you tell that story? And can you tell a good story? It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. That's why Stanley Kubrick, the guy who made 2001 and The Shining and then Full Metal Jacket, he said in an interview in the 80s with Rolling Stone that the commercial, the 30-second commercial, is like the purest cinematic art form available because you have to get across an idea in just 30 seconds.
Pretty much like Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Twitter. It's distilled. You got to get it out.
You got to bring all that thought into 140 characters.
So are we considering Twitter high art now? Is that what's going on
It
here?
Can be. There's some people who know how to use Twitter. And then there's some people who fuck it up. Just like there's so many bad short films out there because it's hard. And it's hard to put out a good tweet. That's why people get in trouble with their tweets because they try to be smart or funny, and then they end up just being stupid, and then then everyone gets on them. That's, you know, it's dangerous. Twitter's a dangerous game. It can be a dangerous game. So we'll talk about that second half. First half of the show, we got new movies come out on DVD and theaters. A lot of new movies to talk about. We got the box office recap. But before we do any of that, it is time for the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. And as always, here is the theme song.
Let's see what we got here.
For the entertainment that you see, time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. All right. You can check out all Netflix Instant Picks of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Juicy Cogburn is a verifying Baby Lax pick from the randomized 9,000. He gives a thumbs up. We're good. Baby Lax, what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
School of Rock.
Hell yeah. All right. With Jack Black.
Yes.
Richard Linklater movie. This is the guy who directed, you've seen Dazed and Confused, right?
Right.
Right. And the movie that just came out, Boyhood, right? Very popular movie, won a bunch of awards and stuff. It's this director, Richard Linklater, this guy from Texas. And School of Rock is his movie with Jack Black, where I love this movie.
Right.
He signs up to be a teacher, a substitute teacher.
Y'all kind of got the same hell.
Yeah, right now. Yeah. In the movie, he has to kind of combed a little bit, right? But he teaches a class, and he finds out that there are a bunch of little geniuses, and he gives them all instruments, and he forms a band because he wants to start a band, and he does it with a bunch of kids, and then he enters them into a band competition, and the movie is absurd, but it's a lot of fun, and it's actually really, really well made. It's really good. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. You don't think anybody's seen it?
No. That's the thing with the Netflix picks of the week. You know, not everyone has seen every movie.
Right.
When I talk about some like obvious movies, sometimes people are like, "Oh, I've never seen that." You know, people tell me that they haven't seen Goodfellas.
Okay,
you gotta account for people's ages, right? School of Rock came out what 2003. Some people that are listening to the show now, they were maybe 5, 6 years old when this movie came out. Right. You know, they didn't see it in theaters. You gotta tell them, hey, go back and check out this Jack Black movie.
Same dude as Gallagher.
Yes.
Check that out.
Right?
Yeah.
It's weird, right? You gotta do this, like, trust me, guys. So School of Rock, awesome pick. Baby Black, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Juicy Cogburn, you agree on the School of Rock?
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, see, this was back to when Led Zeppelin songs, they wouldn't let anyone use their music. Like, the only song they ever used was when they let Puff Daddy use the one for Godzilla.
He used Kashmir.
When he used Kashmir, right? But Led Zeppelin, like, they don't use their stuff for commercials or anything. They have recently because I think they need the money.
Right,
But back in 2003, they weren't. Jack Black, they had to put together a whole video of him literally begging, like on his hands and knees, begging them to allow them to use one of their songs.
Wow.
And they saw the video like, okay, these guys, they get it. And they used the Immigrant Song in one part. It's awesome. I love that movie. Good stuff. All right, here we go. Let's do the box office recap. Drew, you got the numbers there, buddy?
Yes.
All right, where we starting? Number 5?
And I'm up to date on all my movies.
Yes, awesome. That's why I love having you on, dude, because you watch a hell of a lot of movies.
Yeah, I'm up to date.
Hell yeah, here we go.
Starting off at number 5 this week, Cinderella.
Had
a week ago, 7.2 million, total of 180.7 on a budget of 95.
Are you ever going to see the Cinderella movie?
No.
No?
Nope.
You know, why, right?
Yeah.
It's not made for you.
But I'm glad it's making money, though.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be pretty good. It actually has good reviews. I mean, on Rotten Tomatoes,
you saw it?
Did not see it.
Okay.
We have not. But on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 84% positive rating. So it's well-liked. People like it. Disney, they're going full steam ahead with these live-action versions of movies. They've announced already, because they did this, they did Maleficent. And Snow White. They're doing
Dumbo.
Oh. They're doing Winnie the Pooh.
What?
All live action. And they announced another one. Oh, Pinocchio.
Mm.
They just announced live action Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, I could do. I guess they're gonna be bringing out seven dwarfs, you know, Snow White and all that.
They did that with the Huntsman one, and then they're doing now a prequel to that about the Huntsman.
Okay.
So I guess it's just gonna be Thor, no Snow White. Thor and a couple of dwarves.
Thor with an axe instead of a hammer.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, hold on now. So this is the Thor from Avengers.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And he know the Snow White.
Yeah, he's the Huntsman.
Yeah, he's the Huntsman also.
He's the one that the evil queen sent out to cut out Snow White's heart.
Okay.
He's also a black hat hacker named Hathaway.
Does that take place before Avengers or after Avengers?
I think it takes... You mean like
this is,
in
I
the timeline?
I think this is before Avengers, but after Thor.
Well, how did he get... How did he meet the Avenger people and become all that?
I think he gets a curse and he keeps living... And then he goes to, what's that place, Asgard?
Yes.
He meets Odin. They become family. Loki.
Now, that'll be a good movie.
That would be a crazy movie.
Snow White and the Avengers.
Snow White and the Avengers. And then Snow White shows up. And then Charlize Theron's the evil queen and the mirror on the wall. And then they look through it. And then it's Thanos or Galactus. That's a Fantastic Four, man.
Whatever. It's all the same universe,
Fox
bro.
Has the rights to Galactus. It's all about the movie rights, man. But yeah, they're doing all these live action things now, and they're all gonna make so much money.
And I see Pinocchio and Dumbo stuff. That one I might see. You know,
I might. I mean, I watched those movies so much when I was a kid.
Right. The Fox and the Hound.
I don't know if they'll do that. That's just Homeward Bound.
Lady and the Tramp.
Now, but the ones with the animals, right? 100. They did 101 Dalmatians in the '90s.
Oh, yeah, it worked.
They did that in the '90s, actually. Yeah, Glenn Close.
And 101 Tiny Little Puppies.
Well, I think they only had, at the most, they may have like 12.
A lot of them were CG puppies.
Weren't they CG puppies?
Well, CG placed puppies.
No, like 98, 97?
Yeah.
Like it's photo, copy and pasted puppies.
Yeah.
Okay. No. What's the number four movie?
Number four movie this week, Get Hard. We can gross to $8.6 million, total of $71.2 on a budget of $40.
What?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell probably paid for that by himself, dude.
It's. I mean, I'll tell you, that budget,
Kevin Hart.
Most of that budget... probably went to paying Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. It was a $40 million budget. Mm-hmm. I bet you at least 20 to 25 went to pay Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. Just straight up, that's their salary. And then the movie itself probably cost like $20 million to me. Right. You know?
I know somebody in that movie.
Who?
You know when he first went to the airport and the guy was checking the girl down and she was holding her arms
you
up?
You know one of the TSA guys?
No, the girl that was checking. Okay. Yeah, that's Glozette. She's a big internet star.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big YouTube star.
Crazy.
She's from Orlando right here.
Have any lines or anything?
Nah, she just looked around.
Just in there looking
around. Yeah. Glozell Green, that's her name.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a small world, man. Mm-hmm. We should get her on the show, interview her. Like, what was it like to be in a movie with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I'll make all that happen. Might be able to make that happen.
Hell yeah, there you go. Did you see the movie?
Oh, three times.
Three times, so you
liked
it?
First time I fell asleep. Second time watched it, and third time watched it.
Okay, word. So it was good. You enjoyed it then.
Yeah, it was good.
Excellent, there you go. Got the baby like seal of approval on Get Hard.
That's good, because neither of us have seen it.
We haven't seen it yet. So. We haven't seen it. It's been crazy lately. My parents saw it.
Okay.
Really liked it.
Oh, all right.
My mom really liked it. So my mom liked it. Baby liked it. Come on, people. I don't know. Just we'll check it out.
Eventually.
Drew. I'm more of a Will Ferrell than Kevin Hart fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've always liked Will Ferrell, but the last few years I've really been liking Kevin Hart. I've been digging him a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. He's always, he brings the energy.
Right.
Oftentimes he's my favorite part in movies that I don't like. He's like, he's the best part of that movie. Did you see Top 5, the Chris Rock movie?
I did.
He's awesome. When he's his agent, he's like, man, Zoolander's here. No one tells me.
I like that movie. Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's a really good movie. All right, Drew, here we go.
Coming at number three this week, The Longest Ride. Had a weekend gross of $13.5 million, same as the total. Budget unlisted.
Is it the first week for The Longest Ride? Mm-hmm. And it's number three?
Yes.
Wow, look at that. This is the baby, like, this is the one where it's...
It's
for the ladies, romantic film by the guy who did The Notebook and stuff like that. And it's
about Tearjerker.
Yes, and it's about a guy who's a rodeo.
He's a bull rider.
Bull rider, played by Clint Eastwood's son.
Oh,
yes, uh-huh. Scott Eastwood, who actually looks a lot like Chris Evans. It really weirds me out. He looks like Captain America
until he does the Eastwood grimace.
So he squints.
He does it. He squints and he looks just like his dad. It's so weird.
It is kind of, well, genetics, yeah.
I like him already just because
he's an Eastwood. Yeah. And you know what? He's just like really breaking out now, like this year. I've been seeing his name a lot in news articles about movies that are being developed. He's being cast a lot right now. So for the next few years, we're going to be getting Scott Eastwood, right? We're getting Scott Eastwood.
About 25?
He's got to be mid-20s. Maybe late 20s. I mean, Eastwood is.
Yeah, he's like about in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have had him later in life. Guys like that, old rich guys, They can have kids as late as they want. They don't
Dirty
care.
Dirty Harry Jr., he do all that stuff.
Man. Oh, they can bring back Dirty Harry.
Oh, man, he come in there and say like his dad, and everybody, the old policeman remember his dad. Yeah. And just how he,
oh, that'd be funny. Awesome. Or they can remake like with a fistful of dollars.
Yeah.
Or,
with the same Magnum 44.
If I get an old school gun, he's like, just like my dad. That'd be great. That's a good idea. All right, so The Longest Ride did okay, I guess. I mean, I don't know. And it's not a movie we're ever going to see.
No,
so if
not
you
interested.
Ladies that listen to the show are lady Crespodiso listeners, if you've seen the movie, tweet us. Tweet us at Crespodiso or email cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Let us know if you've seen it and what you think, and we'll read it on the show. There you go.
Coming to number two this week,
Boom.
Home.
Home.
Had a week in gross of $19 million, total of $129.5 on a budget of $135.
You watch animated movies? Like, does it depend? It depends on the movie.
Yeah.
Can you name a couple that you might have seen ever?
The one with the old man whose house went up.
Up, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever see Wall-E?
Nah, you see Wall-E.
The Just the Robot one? How about, those are Pixar ones. How about, you ever watch the Toy Story movies?
Yeah, I see Toy Story.
But this one's DreamWorks, though. So DreamWorks, they're more like Shrek. I really like Puss in Boots.
Okay.
Antonio Banderas as the cat. That movie is actually really funny. And Zach Galifianakis as Humpty. What's the egg?
Humpty Dumpty.
Yes. I actually thought that movie was funny. This one, I think the reviews are okay for Home. It's weird how the voices are.
Well, one more week, they might have all their money back.
Oh yeah, no, it will. And then
last week, right?
International is going to make its money too.
I was about to say worldwide. It's at $242.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these movies, especially when you have in the cast Rihanna, and she does put some songs on the soundtrack.
That's probably where most of the money went to.
Yeah. Oh, for production-wise? Yeah, a good chunk went to pay her for sure. And then I don't know, it's weird to cast her in a movie like this because her image isn't exactly family-friendly or squeaky clean. You know, she puts out a lot of kind of risque songs, and then she plays a 7-year-old in this family film about an alien that comes down like an E.T. type thing. It's a weird cast. But anyway, that's what DreamWorks does. And on Rotten Tomatoes, Home is sitting at 47%. So not too well reviewed. But you know what?
But it's a kid movie, so it's pretty much going to win anyway.
Yeah, it's going to win. Kids don't care.
Right.
Kids don't care about the reviews. So that's number two, Drew.
Yes.
That means that number one has got to be...
Furious 7.
Goddamn Furious 7.
Had a weekend gross of $6.5 million. Total domestic of $252.5.
No, more than $6 million opening weekend. You said $6 million opening weekend?
I said 60.
Oh, 60. I thought you said $6 million opening weekend. I was like, that can't be right. 60.
And that just opened this weekend.
No,
last weekend.
Last weekend, it opened to 140.
Ooh. Worldwide, it just hit $800
million. $800
million
already?
Worldwide.
It just came out last week.
Yeah. Whoa, Paul Walker making that money.
Paul Walker's estates is making that money, man. And Vin Diesel, of course. Good old Vin Diesel.
Tyrese,
man.
He's been in all Ludacris.
He has been in all of them, but you know what? Tyrese, and this one more than any of them, he gets like nothing to do. He's the mouth.
Awesome, yeah.
He's the one who's like...
But they even make fun of it in the movie.
I guess they do. Yeah, because he's the one who's got to be like talking his way into places and like really charming and distracting. And I don't know. All he does is like act really loud and obnoxious. Poor guy. I feel like they could do better with that character.
I've never seen. I'm not gonna lie to you. Never seen a Fast and Furious movie. But what attracted me to this one, is when the cars came out of the airplane.
Yeah. The skydiving cars.
Right.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That right there attracted me.
If you go online, like go to YouTube or whatever, you can find videos of them. How they filmed that scene, and they actually had cars in the airplane one at a time, not a whole bunch of them, but they had cars in a plane one at a time with parachutes on them, and they rolled them out, and then they had other people with the helmet cameras, and like so they would, one guy would jump out of the plane and then he would face up towards the plane, and then they would push the car out so he could film the car coming at him, and then someone else would jump out of the plane behind the car so then they could film with their camera of
imagine their check.
Yeah, dude, for all that work, the insurance to insure all that. And they threw out like 5-6 cars to get the footage. And they said all of them with the parachutes, they all landed perfectly except for one.
Nice.
One car, the parachute didn't open, and it hit the ground and just totally destroyed, 100% unsalvageable. They said you should see what happens to a car when it hits at 10,000 feet.
Why didn't just use like replicas or shells or something like
that? Well, they were. I think all those cars were, usually they are shells, especially the ones that they're driving around and they're doing action. It's usually there's something that's bullshit underneath, and then they whip up the shell to put outside to make it look like what they needed to.
Right.
Like that Hydra Sport that they're driving in the buildings. Mm-hmm. And you see them in the commercials jumping from building to building.
Right.
There's only really is only seven of those in the world, and they're not gonna do action scenes with that. So they had to like build a fake one to put on top of a like a body of a car. And
then, Toyota Camry.
Yeah, you know, yeah, some bullshit like that. They found something at a junkyard. Like, does thing have an engine in it? All right, let's go. No. Just put the show on it. We're good to go. We don't care if it smells like it's burning gas when we turn it on. It's not smell-o-vision. So did you see Furious 7 then?
I saw maybe the first 15 minutes. So, yeah. So apparently the girl got killed in the last one. Or she got in a coma or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They like, call her Ghost Girl or something now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then that... So did you see when they went to the race wars place?
Right, right.
And then Iggy Azalea shows up.
Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah, she shows up for like one moment and she goes like, way to drive, Ghost Girl, or something like that. And then Michelle Rodriguez, she says, whoa, freaking out. And then she punches some dude in the face.
Right, right.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Iggy Azalea leaves. So I think, is that the whole point, just saying that her voice made Michelle Rodriguez go crazy and kill someone?
She's not a flag girl.
No, not Flag Girl. No, Flag Girl was...
Oh, when she walked up past that car. Oh, man.
They should have, at like NYU Film School, they should have classes that teach solely on how to do the following the butt tracking shot to the girl, the Flag Girl, because these movies have perfected those shots. Yeah. it's pretty incredible, actually. Well, we enjoyed the movie. It's a lot of fun. Right. I mean, the Fast and Furious 5, 6, and 7, they're all like the same kind of movie. They're all really over the top. It started with 5.
Okay.
And they're fun. They're really cool. You know, it's...
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, they're definitely worth like it's raining. You got nothing to do. Put one on and then it's just absurdity for like 2 hours.
Pretty much.
Maybe like 2 hours and 10 minutes. This one was a little long.
217.
217. Ooh. Yeah, it's like, guys, come on. We can cut that back just a little bit there. My butt's starting to hurt.
Well, a little bang for the buck.
You know, well, yeah, fair enough, right? But then sometimes it can be too much. Like the last Transformers movie. That thing was 2 hours and like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Boringness.
Oh man, it was crushing. It was just pounding you in the face over and over and over. Yeah. Like, please just stop. You got my money's worth. That's, I got my money's
it
worth.
It was long.
Yeah, right. You know, guys need a break. All right, so there we go. That was your top five new movies coming out on DVD this week. We have the latest Tim Burton movie, Big Eyes. It's the one about the artist.
Paint a girl be lying about the pitch and all
that stuff. Yeah, her husband's taking the credit for her work and stuff, and she went along with it. Actually, a pretty good movie. Not bad. I saw it when it was out in theaters. You know, it was pretty good. I wouldn't be like, run out and go see it. But if you had a chance to see it, I wouldn't say turn it down. You know, it's not bad at all. The Woman in Black 2, which I didn't see. Did you see The Woman in Black, the first one?
I was just finished watching. I just got that on DVD.
Oh, really?
I just was watching it.
There you go. All right. I actually liked the first one.
Yeah, it
was with Harry Potter. Harry Potter doing horror, but he's not in the second one, though.
No, it's not him.
It's like a sequel or prequel or something like that, right? Good horror movie. You'll like this
one. Yeah, this is the one before.
It's before really what happened,
right? Yeah, it's like in 1941.
It like explains what happens, how they got to the ghost. Yeah, that's what they always do that, right? That's what they're doing with Insidious now. The new Insidious is Insidious actually a prequel. 3,
the prequel.
Yeah, exactly. Coming out on DVD, this one is really worth checking out. The Babadook.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that's a crazy Australian horror movie.
That was fun.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like kind of like a haunted house sort of thing, like a exorcist entity, haunting spirit type thing. Uh-huh. Pretty Babadook. Crazy.
You might got to spell that. Write that down. Spell that for me.
Spell that for you. Baba. Yeah. Well, it's just like it sounds. Baba. B-A-B-A. Duke. D-O-O-K.
Okay.
Baba Duke.
Baba Duke. Just think it's like a baby poopy. Right. Like, oh, little Baba Duke. little Drew took a little Baba Duke in his diapies. Too much applesauce. Maps to the Stars. This is weird movie that, like when it played here in town, it only played at the Enzian Theater. Mm-hmm. Like it's that type of movie, right? It didn't have a wide release. And it has Julianne Moore. She's like an aging actress who's trying to get respect again in Hollywood. Rob Pattinson, the guy from Twilight.
Okay.
He's a limo driver, but he's also a writer. And he wants to like be a writer, but he's just a limo driver. You know, he doesn't know any better. And it's a crazy movie about like fame and incest. John Cusack is in it. He plays some like quack. Yoga psychiatrist dude. It's a weird movie.
Okay.
Very strange,
very weird movie. Interesting ending. Maps to the Stars, that's a fun one. So those are your movies coming out on DVD this week. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, we have Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2.
That Mall Cop 2.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Mall Cop movie. If I had to go with a Mall Cop movie, I'd go with Observe and Report.
Agreed.
You ever see that one with Seth Rogen?
I think I did.
And weirdly, it came out like around the same time as Paul Blart: Mall Cop. Like 5 years ago, something like that. And he was it was him and Anna Faris. He's like obsessed with the perfume counter girl. And it's kind of like, what if Paul Blart meets Taxi Driver?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. It's pretty wild movie.
Also coming up this weekend, Unfriended.
Unfriended. Have you seen the trailer for this one?
No.
It's a horror movie. Oh. But the whole thing takes place like you're looking at a computer screen. So it's a bunch of people that they get in on a Skype conversation.
Oh, and then...
And so, if you log off, you die.
Yeah. Oh, that starts this week.
Yeah, that starts this weekend. Unfriended. It's kind of a silly title. But I understand why.
I got to ask you about one movie, too.
Go ahead. Ask now so you don't forget.
The Follow.
It follows.
Yeah, it was good. Is that about AIDS or... that's what it is.
It's really about death. It's really how death is following you. No matter what you do, baby, like you're going to die one day. You can live a healthy life and postpone it. You can drink and smoke and not live a healthy life. Death is going to come no matter what. But because there's sex involved, then yeah, it could be AIDS or an STD or just herpes or it's the bigger picture. It's just death it's coming for you. It's never stopping.
I mean, I saw it.
Did you like it?
I did.
Not really. Do you like horror movies, right?
I do.
Yeah, you do like horror movies.
I do. That's why I went to go
see
it.
That's why you dug it. But you weren't into it though.
It was okay. I give it okay.
Did you want more like scares or more like gory stuff? Or?
Yeah, I wanted more. I didn't need that message stuff in it. You know what I'm saying? That type of message was trying to give out.
Yeah.
To give me a good killer.
That kind of vibe.
Good running, good head cut off and stuff like that. Yeah.
You want it to be a more simple, straightforward slasher type thing.
Right.
Okay, like a Halloween or a...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It kind of tricked me because I thought it was going to be more than what it was.
Gotcha. Understood. Hey, that happens sometimes. You go in a movie with one set of expectations and then you get something else and then that'll throw you off. Like, oh, this is not what I signed up for.
I'm so hungry for a good scary movie. I mean, I'm hungry for one. So I guess that's why I go try these.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Drew, we haven't been scared by a movie in years. You know, I want to see a movie that, like, oh my god, this is actually scaring me.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1, I think, is the last scary movie I saw.
Man,
Part 1,
that was a while ago,
right?
I think the last like truly scary movie, the one that really scared me at any point, was 28 Days Later. When I like the and like the beginning
now
that, of
now
that.
Yeah that kind of stuff yeah I can
yeah
do that.
Like
yeah,
the first
yeah.
half hour 40 minutes was like, oh my god, this is so tense
because it could happen.
Yes, and it seemed like during the movie. Anyone could jump out of a window at any time, like jump on our dude and be like, oh shit, you know, that type of thing. Actually, Planet Terror had kind of a similar thing for me. That movie ended up not scaring me, but it had this feeling that anything could happen. So it was like, oh shit, something horrible and violent, like eyeball violence could be happening.
That's what
anytime.
I want, you know, the anticipation of something going on.
Yeah. The dread. It's all about the dread. It's hard to make a good horror movie, man. It's really hard for sure. What else come out in theaters?
Child 44 comes out this weekend.
I was about to...
This one looks interesting.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like looking for a missing child.
Child in Soviet Russia.
But it's all in Soviet Russia. Yeah. So
is it Russian or...
No, I think they're all speaking with the English accents.
Okay.
Because they're not even Russians. It's Gary Oldman, Tom Hardy. So it's a Batman. It's a Dark Knight reunion. Commissioner Gordon and Bane, right? But they played the Russians, and we're looking for a child killer. But they're like, there are no murders in Soviet Russia.
But we have to cover it up.
Yeah, we have to cover it up, because apparently they're like, there's no murders in Soviet Russia. So this person was serial killing kids, and the government didn't want to admit that it was happening, because that's how I was getting away with it.
So part of 44th child, they say.
Yeah, finally the 44th child's killed. That's the one that pushes them to be like, okay, we have serial killer.
We finally have problem.
Moscow, we have problem. what else come out? Anything else?
It's a big weekend for movies. That new Disney movie, Monkey Kingdom, comes out.
You know how Disney do the nature films where they pick an animal, and then they follow a family of animals for a while, and then they come up with their own.
I like stuff like that.
It's cute.
Yeah,
you know, I dig it. It's something that I'd want to see on on TV. You know, on planet Earth.
They got to put someone on a piranha.
Oh, my God.
Or a hawk.
Family oriented.
Or a hawk.
Or a family of cobras.
Yeah.
What else we got, Drew?
Also coming out this weekend, True Story with James Franco and Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah. This is a weird looking movie. It's James Franco plays a guy who, like, killed his family or whatever.
Oh.
And Jonah Hill is a reporter. And he's interviewing James Franco, and I guess it's all based on a true story, and it's all about, like, journalism and, you know, like, covering cases like this in the media and stuff. Like, I don't know. It looks okay. It looks interesting.
It's really weird.
It does look weird, though. This is definitely a movie that's getting, like, a limited release. You know, it might play in more theaters in a couple weeks, right? But this weekend, probably just New York.
So they're going to show The Killing first, and then you think they might show it?
No, I don't know. I think so. Because are you supposed to wonder whether or not James Franco did it? I think everyone knows he did it. It's really a question of why did he do it.
You know the last scary movie what I really just thought, okay.
Yeah, it hit you?
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a guy he had on all black, and he was hiding inside of a box inside of a house. And he'll come out and kill you, then go back inside the box.
I know that one. That's one with Ethan Hawke.
I think
They found the box in the attic.
Right.
They're making another one. Oh, what's that one?
It was a dude inside the box.
It's not Insidious. It's not The Conjuring. It's
and he had on all black, like a rubber suit kind of.
Yeah. He was all, yeah. And then they moved, right? And they left the box behind, right. Going into a new place, went upstairs, the box was upstairs.
Yeah.
And has like the people that the invisible people that were hanging and,
right.
And like, what's the name of that movie, baby? Like, you're killing me now.
Oh, that's it. Now that right there scared me.
I'm gonna have to look it up. That one was creepy.
Yeah, that right there was
for sure. Very creepy. And they're making another one of those.
What?
Yeah. Drew, do the next movie while I look this up.
And finally, Monsters Dark Continent comes out this weekend. Probably limited release.
It's got to be limited release. I'd be surprised if that
Monsters Dark Continent.
Yeah, do you ever see... I just looked up Monsters Dark Continent. You ever see the movie Monsters?
Monsters, Inc.?
No, not the animated movie. Monsters, it's a movie about... and it's on the Netflix, right? And it's about...
aliens land. Well, like an alien spaceship kind of lands. Not really a spaceship, but some sort of alien something lands.
Like, yeah, something lands, crash lands from space on Earth
and
with aliens on it.
Exactly. The alien life forms, like, get on Earth and proliferate. Right. Plants, animals, things of that nature. And it starts a little alien ecosystem
In Mexico. And Mexico is quarantined off. It's the forbidden zone. And these two people, a man and woman, have to get from Mexico to America in a certain amount of time.
Through the quarantine
zone. And the only way they can get there is through the quarantine zones. And so the movie is Monsters. And the monsters are these crash-landed aliens that have taken up residence. It's really cool.
And so this is part two.
This is part two.
This is the sequel, yeah.
This is the sequel because it was a surprisingly successful movie. Actually, the guy who made Monsters, that was his first movie. The Warner Brothers folks, Legendary Pictures, they were impressed enough to give him Godzilla, the new Godzilla that just came out. So he went from this little itty bitty monsters movie to fucking Godzilla, like the biggest monster movie of all time, which is that's a hell of a jump for me.
Well, y'all got my brain working.
The movie, baby, like, is sinister. Which is pretty, it was a fucking sinister movie.
Yeah, that was good.
It was a pretty sinister movie.
So when part two coming?
When is part two coming? I think this year.
Oh, Sinister. That was the name. You saw that, Drew?
No. I'm not really into horror movies.
You might like this one.
It's intense. It's intense and dark. Sinister 2, just says 2015. Young mother and her twin sons move into a rural house that's marked for death.
Excellent.
Marked for death.
Probably about $50 a month from the realtor.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to look this up. So the guy who did the first Sinister... is this dude named Scott Derrickson, this fella, who's done mostly horror films. He did that, Exorcism of Emily Rose, Deliver Us from Evil. His next movie is a Marvel movie. He's doing Doctor Strange.
Okay.
That's going to be a weird fucking movie,
yeah,
bro.
So a guy who's done a lot of like exorcism, haunted type horror films, all of his movies have been that, like about possession, and now he's making a comic book movie, but that's about black magic. So that could work, I think. That actually could
be
pretty cool.
Right up under you and Drew with movies. I mean, like, far as movies I've seen.
Oh, yeah. No, you're there, dude. You know. I mean, you mentioned Sinister. I forgot about Sinister. That movie is, yeah. The dude's in the box, man. Motherfucker's in the box, Drew.
And they can't find him. Looking for him everywhere. Go back inside the box.
You can't find him. He'll find you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go home and watch that.
Monsters Dark Con. All right, there you go. So, okay, let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. Did you see John Wick? With Keanu Reeves,
John Wick,
where he's
the
unstoppable assassin.
I saw that it was just a whole bunch of shooting and fighting.
Yeah, no,
I saw that. Yeah, that's good.
That's a crazy movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch that again.
Oh, I love that movie. I pulled a couple of songs from the soundtrack for that movie.
Okay,
the scene where he goes to the Red Circle, the club, to try to kill the dude, and he's just going around killing everyone. I got a couple of songs.
Man, I say, boy, that movie there, got some killing in it. He killed like 400 people.
Actually, he looked it up. He kills somewhere like 80, 90 people in that movie. An insane number of people. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He's unstoppable. unstoppable. He's so unstoppable.
Dude, speaking of, how come nobody told me Hugh Jackman is a bald earringed Pan on July 17th?
Oh, he's not Pan. He's Hook. Blackbeard. He's the pirate Blackbeard. Javier Bardem is Hook. This Captain Hook.
What?
Who the hell is Pan?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Some kid.
Coming out.
They're making another Peter Pan movie, just called Pan.
Oh,
so weird.
And it's Hugh Jackman is Blackbeard pirate, and Javier Bardem is Captain Hook. And then I don't know who they got for Pan. I don't think anyone famous.
Is it Levi Miller, Jimmy Lee, Kara?
One of these kids. I don't know. So they're making a straight up like another new Peter Pan movie. But it's, you know, modern Pan, so it's going to be all crazy and dark and intense and stuff. So
well, go ahead and play that funk from John Wick. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back with the second half of the show. All right, it's the second half of episode 118 of Cinema Crespity. So 118, don't you hate? I'm chilling with Drew Sakai. We're in DJ Baby Lack.
Hey, y'all boy, we putting in work.
Yeah, dude, already at 118. Yeah, let's see. It's been one a week now for a little over 1 year or two. Just going into our third year.
Yeah, I think I was on episode 3. I remember episode 3.
Oh, you were all the way. You were like one of our first guests.
So long ago.
yeah, and one of our most highest downloaded episodes too. That first one you were on, people love that one. But people are going to love this one. I think we're having a great time here. Plugs. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew Sakai, where can people find you online?
At antihero419 all over the interwebs.
And remember, go to chriscrespo.com. Rate us and review us on iTunes. And email the show, cinemacrespo@gmail.com, for free stickers. Baby Lack.
Yes, sir. At DJ Baby Lack, Twitter and Instagram, same thing.
Yes, follow him all over DJ Baby Lack. And like, what are some of your gigs around town where people can find you?
Hey man, I done got busy. I'm at it 6 nights a week now. Monday, Thursday, Friday. Catch me at Cleo's. Wednesday night I'm downtown at Vane, the biggest club in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday nights Club Guilt, the old Roxy.
Right.
And every first Tuesday, Supper Club right there in LA on Hollywood Boulevard.
That's an LA gig we're talking about. Supper Club in LA.
Every first Tuesday.
So you just did one.
Right, just got, man, it was crazy, man.
So our LA listeners, we got them. They're out there, people. Check out Baby Like when he hits town. Tell him Cinema Crest, what he said, what's up?
That club is crazy, man.
Is it? Yeah.
They eat dinner at 8. From 8 to 10 is dinner. Steak, lobster.
Straight up supper club.
And then 10 o'clock, pow! The club party just breaks out.
That's awesome. They know what they're doing out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know what's up. I mean, for a party culture, party nights, it has to be, you got to talk New York, L.A., Miami.
Vegas.
Yes. That's top 4 right there. We'll be 5. Maybe San Francisco, Chicago, yeah, something like that.
Chicago.
Top 5 party cities right there. Boom. Orlando, way down the list. But you know what? We got Baby Lack. He's bringing that number up. killing it all around town. So check him out. Please check him out because he's the man. Also, what's your latest? What's your latest mix? What you up to?
Volume 51. These DJs scared of me. Awesome. So it's online. You can find it out there somewhere. If not, I send you the link. Holler at me at DJ Baby Lack, and my new one be dropping about 2 weeks.
Already?
I haven't named it. That's the hard part. Name it is the hard part.
Yeah, but talk about putting it into work. Number 52 already coming out.
Yeah. 7 tapes and the rest CDs.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So people, check that out. That's out there. All right, let's start with, like I said, you can email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. If you have reviews, movie reviews, like I always say, baby, like that I am the critic of the people, and this is the show of the people. So if you want to, you know, anything you want to say at all, email us, and we will read it on the show.
Correct.
For example, we have a couple emails. Drew Zuckerberg, you got them?
Yes, sir.
Let's read those emails from the peoples.
All right. I got a trivia question from Steve Etchie, Chris.
From Etchie. Yes. Etchie from Answer Pants at Rampant Radio. He was just on... This is 118, 117 was Chico, 116 was Black Castle. Episode 115 with Etchy is available. Check that out, people.
What was the last movie ever rented out by Blockbuster before their doors finally closed?
What year was that?
Oh, it was recent. It was like a couple years ago.
Okay.
Very recent. I remember the story. Plus, I printed out the email, so I know what the answer is.
I'm probably giving a Transformers movie.
You're going to a Transformers movie?
Incorrect, sir.
You want me to just say, I know what the answer is. You want me
so
just
do
say,
I'm reading it.
I know you're reading it. and I printed out the email. He sent us a trivia question, but the answer is right there. The answer is, this is the end. Did you ever see that one with Seth Rogen and James Franco? The one
with the
apocalypse?
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah, that was good.
It's a fun movie.
But, I mean, I was going to say that wasn't long ago. Harry on and all.
It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
They just closed the last Blockbuster 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, the very last one. And it was West Coast somewhere, like California or maybe even Hawaii.
Okay.
Like all the way out fucking west. And the last store was closing. It was the end of the day. It was the last day that they were renting out movies. So then for like the next week, they took them all the last ones in and they closed, right? So the last official rental was a dude renting This Is the End. And it was the end of Blockbuster. Isn't that crazy?
Do you think they sold all their movies to Redbox? That's what I would have done.
Both Redbox and Netflix. They both still do the DVD-based services. I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix bought a bunch of them.
Or maybe that's where all of our treasure hunt movies come from, Chris.
Yeah, if you go out there, you see them at 7-Eleven all the time. They have little envelopes with the movies in them. Where are the cases, right? Blockbuster got rid of the cases forever ago because they had their own cases, right? That makes sense. So that's probably where they come from. Yeah. Anytime you get a cheap movie for like $2, it's probably an ex-Blockbuster DVD.
More than likely.
You can find some gems in there too now.
Absolutely, you can. Oh, 100%. Yes.
Pawn shop. The fountain for gems.
Yes, absolutely. You just go looking, man, or at the flea market. I love DVD shopping at the flea market because you get like 5 amazing movies for $10, like $2 a movie. You know? I mean, come on, guys. You can't beat that. So shout outs to Etchy, Answer Pants, and Rampant Radio. Last week we had on Chico from Answer Pants. That's a good show, baby. Like, you might like him. They do a show every Monday night. And it's just like 4 or 5 dudes, depending on the night of the week. You know, some people are there, some people aren't, or what week it is. But it's just hang around for like an hour, talking shit, having a good time.
Check them boys out.
Yeah, they're cool. Answer Pants. All right, Drew, what else we got?
We got a message from Luis Modesto.
Luis! I think that's, I'm pretty sure on Twitter, that's crazyloco_.
All right. Dear Mr. Diso, I thought you guys said The Cobbler is on Netflix. I looked for it and it only came up with a cartoon. Huh. So I guess what Netflix took down their super racist Adam Sandler movie?
It was on there, wasn't there? Didn't we see it on there?
Yeah.
I could have sworn we saw it on there. I checked again today on Netflix. It's
what
not
movie
there.
Is that?
It's a new Adam Sandler movie that's the worst reviewed movie of his career. It's where he plays a shoemaker, a cobbler, or a shoe fixer, right? And people bring him the shoes to fix. And when he steps into them, he can live like them. Like, he enters their body.
Okay.
So Method Man plays one of the characters that drops off some sneakers. So when Adam Sandler puts on the sneakers, looks in the mirror, he's Method Man. And then, we haven't seen this yet, SBK, our mutual friend, he saw like half the movie because he heard it was racist.
Right.
and then he reported back after watching half the movie. He said, yes, this movie is racist as fuck. That... what happens is Adam Sandler, whenever he wants to do something bad or illegal, he'll put on Method Man shoes and he'll do that as a black man. Whenever he wants to do something bad, he has to do it as a black man. Everything else, he walks in other people's shoes and he doesn't do bad stuff. But then he didn't finish the movie. Maybe it turned out. But then, you know what? I looked up the reviews online. The worst reviewed movie. I mean, people fucking hate this movie.
When did this come out?
It just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and because it has like a video on demand thing, and it was on Netflix, I swear to God it was on there for a couple weeks. It didn't play in the big theaters. No Regals, AMCs, all that stuff. What's if you were going to the movie theater, like, what do you go to an AMC near you? Do you know what it is?
I'm not really. I mean, I see Regal, but Festival Bay, I think that's AMC.
Festival Bay, oh, that's or is that a Cinemark, the Festival Bay?
Yeah, Cinemark Festival Bay. Yeah, that's
Well, now it's Artagon Marketplace, right? I like that theater. That's actually a really nice theater. So then you're mostly then watch it at home kind of guy.
Right.
Barbershop.
No, but I like the movies. I like going to the movies.
Going to the movies is fun, for sure. But I was going to ask, did the DVD man still come into the barbershop?
Oh, yeah. He still slides.
He's always there?
Yeah, Blackbuster. Blackbuster.
That's awesome. In a few years, people will be like, I don't get it. What does that mean? Because Blockbusters are all out of business now. Yeah, it's an old name, Blackbuster. That's funny. You get them at the barbershop. When I was growing up, I had an uncle. I shouldn't say that. I had a family member that's out there now. I had an uncle who worked at Wall Street. He was a stockbroker. Right there on the floor, right? The people with the jackets and they're yelling, all shit. Every week, there'd be a woman who worked down there. She'd bring in a briefcase full of VHS and a list of movies, and that was there. That was the barbershop version for the financial district in Manhattan. Right there on Wall Street, they're selling the bootleg DVDs right there on the floor.
I'll never forget when I learned how to take two VCRs and run them into each other and record other songs. Oh, man, it was awesome, man.
I didn't have two VCRs, but I had a friend who did, and I was like, man, you got to copy me all these wrestling videos.
Yeah.
Bootlegged all this shit. I would give them the tapes, come back all bootlegged up. Like, dude, the first hour's missing. He's like,
yeah, so what?
So what? You didn't pay for it. It's free. So Cobbler, I guess it's on Netflix, man. Crazy.
Yeah. By the way.
Oh, the email's not over?
Nope.
Oh, more than the email. All right.
By the way, still love the show. Haven't missed one.
Oh, cool.
He said John Wick is freaking awesome.
Yes.
The Station Agent, Robot and Frank, Snowpiercer, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Chef. All those are past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week.
Chef also, but I was going to watch it regardless.
Oh, sure. Fair enough.
The Netflix Instant Pick is my source on what to watch. I don't know if it was a pick of the week, but I think you talked about The Grandmaster. That was really good also.
Yeah, we definitely did talk about it. Yeah. It hasn't been a pick of the week because there's this movie, Baby Light, called The Grandmaster that's on the Netflix. Mm-hmm. That's a kung fu film. But it's a kung fu film by this guy who, for like over a decade, all the movies he makes are like romantic films. Chinese romantic films. So it's a lot of longing for love and stuff like that. Some of them are about gay people. Some of them are straight relationships. And then he decided, oh, I want to make a kung fu film. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm Chinese. I should be able to make a kung fu movie. And so he made one a couple years ago called The Grandmaster, and it's a gorgeous, amazing kung fu film.
I think I've heard of that movie.
It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool. But the problem is, because he loves making movies with romance, he has a huge subplot in there that's a romantic subplot. The Weinstein Company, they got the movie to distribute. They're like, fuck this subplot. And they cut it out. So it's like the movie makes no sense. Mm-hmm. They cut out half the story and just cut to the action. So it's cool and it's fun, but it's not the full movie. So I don't want to necessarily recommend it on Netflix because that's the version that's on there. But if you want to see some awesome fight scenes, The Grandmaster for sure.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. It's that time. Truce to Cogman versus the world. Truce to Cogman versus the world. Is the email? Let's finish the email first.
Oh, that was it.
Oh, that was it. And who was it from again? That was Crazy Loco?
Yeah.
Shout out to our boy, Luis Modesto. Thanks a lot, dude. We appreciate it. Your continued support. And we're glad you liked the Netflix Picks of the Week. Very cool. All right, here we go. This week's game, it's a repeat of a game we did kind of recently, Drew. But it's a game submitted by one of our listeners.
Okay.
Rage Against Twit. Friend of the show. Cool guys from up there in New York. Upstate New York, I think. And he has a game he likes doing where it's pretty much... like, name this movie. Name the movie from the tune. It's like, name that tune, but with movies.
I was so awful at this.
Drew thought he was pretty awful at this last time. So, maybe, like, you might have a good shot, dude.
Yeah, I'm all right with this.
Drew Zakogra, for the year, you are 3-1.
Okay.
That is his record so far. I'll keep track of the scores here. You won last time against Chico, right? Yes. You pulled it out at the end, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Drew's pullout game is strong.
Yes, it is.
So we have, I have here 10 songs, two groups of five. Some of them are from our homeboy Rage Against Twit, and then some of them are ones that I picked. Because some of the ones that he picked are like, I felt maybe they were too general or maybe a little too hard. He picked ones that are like, these guys are never going to get these.
I'm not going to get them. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get them.
You'd be surprised. Here we go. So, Drew, you're going to get to choose between Group A and Group B. Which one do you want?
Group A.
Okay. We'll start with Group A. Oh, you know what? And before I do that, let me go ahead and do this.
Segment brought to you by Star Wars.
This segment brought to you by Star Wars. Thank you very much, Drew. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. You ready, Drew?
Yes.
Here we go. Number one. Which movie is this from? Pulp Fiction is correct. Good job. Now, some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to be hard.
Yeah.
Something right now. Here we go. Number two. What movie is this from, Drew? Oh, this one might take a second to. But you don't have to. Some of them are going to take 30 seconds, 40 seconds to kick in. So I'm not going to pressure you. It is an audio game. I'm not worried about silence. There is no. Epic intro. Terminator is correct. There you go. Just kicked in right there.
I was getting the undertones.
Yeah, that's that beat. The Terminator. James Cameron's a Terminator. James Cameron did the score for that, actually. Yeah. He did that theme song. Nice. Here you go. Number three, Drew. Name this movie. Right here.
Halloween?
That's correct. Look at this guy. He's like, I'm going to do so bad. And he's three for three.
I knew it was a horror. I wasn't completely sure that it was Halloween, but.
Took the proper guess. All right. Number four. What is this song from?
No idea.
No idea? Don't even want to guess?
Nope.
Don't even want to guess?
Nope.
Just name a movie. Just name a movie.
Foxy Brown.
Foxy Brown is incorrect. It's from Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai.
Okay.
Flying Birds by RZA, because RZA did the soundtrack for Ghost Dog. So there we go. And finally, number five, Drew. Here we go. What do you got? This is a Rage Against Twit one.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, you know what? Close enough. 1985, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Oh.
Remember that one? Song Raw, The Last Dragon.
Man.
With the glow.
Yeah.
You got the glow. All right, Baby Black. He got 3 out of 5, so you're going to have to. That was rough. You're going to have to.
I'm going to rely on my music knowledge more than movie knowledge on this one.
Man is a DJ. DJ of a million songs?
26 million.
Good. Very good. Very good. All right, Baby Black. What movie is this song from?
It's a family movie. I can tell by that part.
I love this guy.
E.T.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
That makes me think of Universal Studios.
Yeah, it does.
That and the Back to the Future theme immediately. All right. How about this one, Baby Black?
Oh, I know that one. I'm just gonna throw one out there. I know it's an action.
All right.
One of them cartoon Marvel type movies. I'm gonna say Captain America.
Oh, RoboCop.
No.
The original. You're on the right track with action. Yeah. For sure. Definitely an action theme. But that is RoboCop, the original RoboCop. All right, here we go, baby. Like number three is a commercial. For Star Wars, I can skip this ad in 2, 1, skipping the ad. Okay, here we go.
On Golden Pond.
Oh no, Django Unchained.
Oh yeah, that is it.
Yeah, Django Unchained.
Yeah, I should have waited for the whistle.
That whistle does kind of give it away, doesn't it? Yeah, and some of these, you can like give it a second if you want. You know, I mean, I understand you're like, ah, I feel it, I got it. But all right, here we go. Number four, Baby Lack. There's another, yeah, here we go. This one's going to be tough. Another Rage Against Twit one. Drew knows it. Yeah. Drew knows it.
Some from Ray.
From Ray? No, I'm sorry. It's it is a cover of Sexual Healing.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing from Chef. From the movie.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see it.
You
didn't
see that
Chef.
One?
No.
Chef, Chef's a good one, dude.
What's that about?
It's about a dude who he works at a restaurant. He's a chef at a restaurant. It's Jon Favreau, right? Okay. He has a falling out with the owner, and he gets disgraced on Twitter, so he has to restart from the beginning. He gets a food truck. And then he goes on a cross-country trip from like Miami to Austin, Texas, all the way out to California, selling food along the way. Then every city that they're in, New Orleans, every city that they're in, there's a different song on there. So when they're somewhere there's like a instrumental jazz version of Wu-Tang's Cream.
No. Okay.
There's this big band version of Sexual Healing. There's another song. It's like another regional style cover of a song. It's good stuff.
Might check that out.
Chef is worth checking out, bro. Especially if you like
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo and food porn.
Yeah, yes. I like John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo was awesome.
Yeah, I like that dude.
He was good in John Wick.
Yes, he was.
He was really good in John Wick. He's like, they stole John Wick's car. He's like, oh, okay. All right, here we go. Maybe like last one. Can you name this movie?
Since nothing dropped in yet.
I know, right? Here it comes. It just goes.
Boy, y'all got me this week. I'm usually good at the game. But before it dropped in, I was going to say Halloween H.20.
Close. It's that definitely that style of music. It's the Exorcist theme song.
Okay.
So it's still a horror movie, yes. But there you go.
Good at games.
Drew Sikogren with 3 out of 5 yes. wins. Congratulations, Drew.
That's Drew's first win against me.
Oh,
yeah. Finally.
Oh, man.
You know, I'll tell you, Drew's been doing pretty good this year, Baby Lack.
Only lost one.
Puts him at 4 out of 1. And then that one was to a tiebreaker loss, too. Man. Wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
I'm just glad
I finally won one against Baby Lack. Well, that's my kryptonite for.
Baby Lack is good.
The ones you had, I had all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You picked right.
I did.
That's the thing, too. You don't know. It's A, B. You got to pick your poison, you know? And I have no idea who's going to pick which one when I put the 5 together. So, like, oh, Drew might know this one, but is he going to pick this one? You know, we'll see. That one came out very interesting. Good job, guys. That was a good game. Good job.
Congratulations, Drew. Yeah.
Thank you. Good showing.
Good job, Drew. Okay, so. That brings us to those are emails from the show, right? Those
yes.
are the two emails we had. So remember, you can hit us up at cinemacrespoliso@gmail.com. And now it is time, I believe, for Billy D's Death at the Movies, right?
Sure.
All right, okay, there we go. Death of the Movies. Here we go. Billy D is our New York City senior show correspondent. You can hit him up on Twitter at I Love Blood.
Actually, oddly enough, he talks about something that we already talked about in the show.
Oh, really?
Yes. What's up, dude?
What's up, Billy?
Let's reflect on the death of the video store for a moment.
Oh, well, look at that. Synchronicity. All right.
My video store habits have been documented in the past, watching entire sections in alphabetical order, regardless of film.
Yeah.
But that type of experience is gone. Now you might be lucky to catch a movie if it streams or is on cable.
Uh-huh.
You own it or can Redbox it, but there are limits.
Mm-hmm.
The exploration is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you find out about this week's movie by stumbling on a list on the internet. While it was a mainstay of every horror section. Hang on. While it was a mainstay. Yeah, that's what it says. All right. There. Okay. That's what. Poor punctuation. So, now you might find out about this week's movie by stumbling on a list on the internet. While it was a mainstay of every horror section. There, waiting for you in the... waiting for you to mature, to grow, to experience death and sadness, to scare you. The Changeling from 1980, starring George C. Scott, called one of the scariest movies ever made by Martin Scorsese.
Ooh.
The Changeling is an adult ghost movie. It benefits from 70s pacing and storytelling, and if it seems familiar, it's because almost every ghost movie since has stolen elements from it.
Huh.
It's a mature ghost movie that gets scarier as you age. I saw it during one of my video binges in the late 90s and have revisited it numerous times since and ordered for a special Fort Awesome screening this week. This is what I miss about the video store. Gems like this. What about you guys? Stay cool, Billy D. Sent from Microwave. Excuse typos and or bird pop.
Yeah, 100%. He's right. How you could used to go to the movie store. I was thinking about this recently, too. You go to the Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
And... they had the wall of new releases going all the way around. You just start at the beginning. You start at the numbers.
And work your way around.
You walk your way around all the way to Z, and you see all the big movies that have come out. Like, oh, this movie finally came out. But then you see on the shelves all those little movies, the independent films and the direct-to-video ones. Like, what the fuck is this shit, you know? And that's how you would find movies back
then.
You can sort of do that with, like, Netflix. You can scroll through their list, but it's not like it's alphabetical or anything. They give them to you randomly. There's no place where you can go to and just see, here's movies A through Z.
What were the video? Okay, Blockbuster.
Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video News.
What did you go to growing up? Did you go
pretty
to...
Blockbuster, pretty much.
But before Blockbuster, do you remember doing like the mom and pop ones?
Oh, yeah.
Right? The ones that weren't owned by chains? Did you go to any of those?
No, like Video News, I think.
I guess
the
on
name
here it was Video News,
it.
Yeah. Which I think they still have one or two of those, don't they?
Oh, wow.
I think there's one on 436.
Really?
By where the old Kmart used to be?
Is it DVDs or is it still VHS?
I have no idea. I always actually assumed there was just porn in there.
Could be.
They could still have the porn back there behind the curtain.
They always had the adult section.
Do you remember when they used to, maybe they didn't do this, I'm sure they did this down south. Do you remember when they used to rent out videos at the supermarket?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Drew? Early to mid-80s. And then that practice died out in the 90s.
I don't think so.
The supermarkets in the front used to have a tiny little section with shelves of movies, and then they had a whole system set up where you can rent movies at the supermarket.
Well, who was Blockbuster's competition? Because it was somebody.
It was the biggest competition. I would say it was Hollywood Video. Wouldn't it have been?
I think it was another big name.
Hmm.
Well, Blockbuster was the main.
Blockbuster.
And it was hard to get a card now. It wasn't easy to get a Blockbuster card.
Yeah, a credit card and all that shit.
Yeah,
motherfuckers. Just so they can put you in collections at the end, you know, if you forgot to return. I just forgot to return it, guys. You don't have to put me in collections. And you know, and Billy, I remember him mentioning this to me years ago. Because this guy loves horror movies, right? Mm-hmm. Billy D, he's all about the horror films. He used to go to the Blockbuster. They had the new releases around the side. In the middle, they had the aisles of all the older movies. He would go to the horror film section. However big it is, and it would start with A. First movie, he'd rent it and watch it. Doesn't care what it is, what's in it, what's it about, is it good, is it bad, he's just going to watch it. Bring it back, get the next one down the line, and he watched every single movie in the entire section just because he loved the genre that much.
Right.
You know, which I could never do.
I
have to at least look at him and be like, who's in this?
what is this?
Like, what is this? This is another Judge Reinhold film? I don't know if I'm down for some Judge Reinhold right now. I've already seen Beverly Hills Cop. What I used to do, I remember for a little while, they did this. They had this awesome promotion where it was like Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. When you rented one movie, you could get like a second movie for free, or every movie after that was like a dollar or something ridiculous. So I was renting movies, like 3-4 movies at a time, more movies than I could watch. And then by the time I had to return them, it's like, okay, I got to watch like 3 out of 4 of these. But then even then, I only lost out on like 50 cents. Who cares?
Not bad.
I miss that. I miss those days. One time, remember, you know how you get speaking from personal experience, if you get a ticket speeding ticket, mm-hmm. and then to avoid the points on your license, you got to do driving school.
Yeah.
Right? Have we all done driving school of some part? Yeah. They get us all, right? Those motherfuckers, they get us all. I opted to do the one that was on the internet, online. So it's like a 10, it's supposed to take 3 hours, and it's like 10 sections, and each section's like half an hour, some bullshit
yeah,
like
you
that.
You gotta let the time run.
And you have to let the timer run. You can't skip ahead, even though the questions are like, what do you do at a stoplight? You know,
yeah.
A, stop, B, go. It's like, I think it's stop, right? It's super easy questions, but they don't let you skip ahead. So when I was doing this, I was living in a house that was literally 2 minutes down the road from a Blockbuster. I got to one section, it was like 45 minutes. I was like, fuck this. And I left left my computer on. I went to Blockbuster. I browsed the aisles, grabbed a bunch of movies, came back, answered the questions, still had like half the test to go. And I sat there and watched the movie while I fucking answered some
goddamn. There you go.
So stupid.
No, that's straight, though.
It's a racket, though. I just want to use this as an opportunity to bring up that those driver schools are rackets. They're the worst. They're the worst.
It's all about money.
100%. All about the money. Absolutely. Do you guys actually miss the video store, though? Or are you happy with streaming and, modern technology that lets us, if we have the right tools, baby, like, we don't have to say on this show, but if you have the right jailbroken sticks, you can go online and just get everything right. If you want. It's possible.
Since I'm so old school, I'd rather like go to a place. But then you don't want to take them back. If it was a way that I could, get it from there and send it back some other kind of way.
Well, they did used to do for a while. Blockbuster was doing like the Netflix style online rentals. You know what they did with that? That was interesting. You'd go like Netflix where you got the DVD in the mail, but it was a Blockbuster envelope. You watch your movie. You take the movie back to the store instead of putting you can put it in the mail if you want. Or you could go to the store. They scan it into their computer. As soon as it scans in, the Blockbuster service will send you the next movie instead of waiting for it to come back to their warehouse. They'll send it to you right away.
Oh, okay.
And then the envelope itself all acted as a coupon for one free movie.
Oh,
so if you took the movie back to Blockbuster, they would send you one immediately, plus you could rent one for free.
Oh, that's all right.
That's when they were like, please.
Please use our business.
Yeah. Please use our business, yeah. And that, for movie lovers, that was an amazing.
That's when they figured out, hey, man, things about to go bad.
Yeah. That's when they were like, we are fucked.
Technology has made people money, and it has lost people money.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. If you can't adapt with the times. Even if you're a technology-based business like Radio Shack, if you don't adapt properly, you're going to die like they just did. Now, if you go to Radio Shack, pretty soon they're all going to be like half Radio Shack, half Sprint stores.
Sweet.
They worked out a deal with Sprint. Mm. So any Radio Shack stores that are going to survive their current bankruptcy, they're all going to be like half Sprint stores.
I think you already pay your bill there anyway, so it probably all worked out.
Might as well. You'll also get some remote control cars wearing there now. Or the helicopters. That's all about the helicopters, actually. So is that all the emails we got?
Yes.
How about we got some tweets?
Oh, yeah.
Tweets. You can tweet the show at Crespo Diso. Or tweet me at I am Chris Crespo or on Instagram at Cinema Crespo. So before we do the tweet, I want to do a big ups, shout outs to Ron and Mike out in Denver, Colorado. They got together with a bunch of people. They were hanging out. They went to a Casa Bonita. Uh-oh. Remember from the South Park episode?
Yeah.
They went to actual Casa Bonita. Mike is wearing a Cinema Crespo Diso shirt. They both put out pictures with the Cinema Crespo Diso shirt outside of Casa Bonita. So shout out to those guys.
Very nice.
They are awesome. What do you got there?
From Matt Celery on Twitter.
Shout out to Matt Celery.
Yeah, I'm a buddy.
Yeah, he's a good guy, right? He's a good guy.
Went to see It Follows after reading Chris Crespo's review. Pretty good movie. It's only the second horror movie I've seen in theaters. Your review sold me on it.
That's something. Only the second horror movie I've ever seen in a theater. Mm-hmm. I like seeing horror movies in theaters. Big screen.
It depends on the movie.
Well, I like the idea that it's a big screen, the loud sound, it's a dark room. You don't know who else is in there with you. You know, it's a little creepy, right? I think horror movies work good. Horror movies and comedies work well in theaters.
Yes. Yeah. Well, comedies for the crowd reaction.
Horror films, too.
Yeah.
Fear is contagious.
Yes, it is.
You know, so some people in the theater start freaking out. The vibes are being put out into the room. And
you catch a whiff of fear and it just goes.
I would love to go to one of the premieres that they show on TV with a green light. You can see everybody. Oh!
I think those got to be fake.
Oh, you think they
fake? I think it's all acting.
I don't think that they're fake. What I think I think what they do is they actively look for people who are batshit afraid of everything.
Who are jumpy.
Yeah, and stick them all in a room together.
Our mutual friend, Matt from SBK Live, right. He's that type of guy where he's in the movie, for whatever reason, he's a tense dude. So if something like jumps out of the screen, he goes, and he jumps out of his screen. So it's fun to see movies with him. Because like, we saw Super 8 with him.
Yeah.
And like a monster comes and grabs the dude. He's like, oh. Yeah, maybe that's what they do. They find a lot of mats.
You think they put a baby? I mean, it kind of works because people go.
Yeah. It's like, hey, those people are getting scared. Maybe it'll scare me. You know? Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about that. Matt Sully saw It Follows. He liked it, so shout outs. Maybe like, not too big on it, but that's cool. I mean, there's plenty of people out there online. I've read a lot of people who are like not too big on it. Or they're like you said, they were expecting one thing and they got something else, right. And they kind of threw them.
I'm not downplaying it. I mean, I give it have a thumb about that, like that. Instead of like that, they just
like a half mass thumb.
Like that, right there. Yeah,
you give a semi thumb.
Right, 90-degree angle thumb. Yeah, right there.
There you go. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough. All right. Before we get into movie news, let's talk about that Florida Film Festival real quick, Drew. We were doing. It just started, baby, like on Friday night was the opening film.
Right.
I went to 3 movies yesterday, and 2 of them had short films that played in front of them. So let me describe these movies. I'll try to do this real quick. First is this one short movie called Spear Hunter that's like 14 minutes long, and it's about a dude who was a colonel or general. Some dude named Gene Morris who lived in Alabama, old white guy. Avid hunter, loves to hunt. He got bored with hunting because it was too easy. So I think in the 70s, he started doing spear hunting. And he became obsessed with spear hunting, and he declared himself to be the world's greatest spear hunter. And he took video of himself all the time. I had people videotaping him. Every time he killed an animal, he would go, oh, like pound his chest and scream like Tarzan as loud as he could. And he would scream, I am the greatest spear hunter in the world, bar none. Like, he was super egotistical and all into it, to the point where he built a spear hunting museum that's all about him. It's got a picture of him on the side. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a record of all his kills, all his spear kills and everything, and spears hanging on the wall and shit. This guy is such an egotist that he built a museum to himself for his spear hunting accomplishments.
Wow. It's pretty crazy.
And then one of his ex-wives was like, who still seemed to like him. They interviewed her, and she still liked the guy. Actually, she still worked at the museum, as a matter of fact.
Weird.
But she said at the end, she was like, yeah, he's definitely a... animal serial killer because he killed too many animals. Like, he had no place to put these animals. His home was filled with them. The museum's filled with them. He was just obsessed with killing animals. So he was kind of a serial killer of animals. But people don't care about that. You know, it's just hunting.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised PETA didn't come out.
Right, PETA would hate this movie.
Against this movie.
Oh my god, they would hate the guy. The movie itself is. It's a fine movie. It's a good movie. And then it's a short film, too. No one's going to get to see this stuff, right? Another short film I saw was one called Nixon's Coming, which is about how one night in 1970, Nixon was awake at like 4 in the morning, and he's like, oh, you know what? Oh, like a White House staff servant came down. This dude named Manolo. And he was like, hey, Manolo, you ever see the Lincoln Memorial at night? Manolo was like, nope. He's like, well, put on some clothes. We're going to go to the Lincoln Memorial. So Nixon and Manolo go to the Lincoln Memorial just to check out like 4 in the morning, what it looks like at night. At the exact same time, like 30 or 40 student protesters just got to Washington, D.C. on a bus. And their first stop was the Lincoln Memorial just to check it out. You know, all the protests were happening when the sun came up. So they were there at the same time. Nixon talked to them. They had weird conversations. Hung out for a few minutes, and Nixon left. So not a whole lot of, like, interesting stuff actually happened. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird encounter. And then the whole thing is Nixon loved to record. He had a microphone, and he loved to record memorandums, and he recorded a memorandum about that meeting, and that was just declassified in 2011. So the movie is actually all done with Nixon's voiceover. So it's him describing what's happening, and then it's photographs of one of the student protesters who took a bunch of pictures while he was there. So it's weird. A combination of the two things.
Pretty crazy.
So it's an interesting document of a weird meeting that ultimately has no
importance whatsoever.
So it was okay. Now, the movies we saw, I saw a documentary called The Desk. That's one I mentioned earlier. It was the world premiere of a documentary. And this guy actually submitted this film. According to the person that introduced the movie, he submitted this film as a narrative, as not a documentary, as a normal movie. And they called him up. We're like, dude, you know this is a documentary. And he was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I get it now. Like, he didn't know he made one. Because it's a weird fucking movie, right? there's this guy. He's a journalist. He saw this dude in New Zealand who's a talk show host out there. He wanted to get this guy a job in America. He wanted to produce a talk show, a late night talk show with this guy named Paul Henry. So he brings him to America. They take a bunch of meetings in L.A. and every studio, all the executives reject them. Like, we don't want your stupid fucking show. So they're like, we need to sell the show somehow. Let's make a short film. Let's make a short film about making the show. So they start making a short movie, right? And it's about the making of the talk show. And then they go around with the guy and with the desk, and they set up a mobile show where, like, they go and talk to the workout guy. What's his name? Richard Simmons?
Right. Yeah.
They find him, and they go to his gym. And they set up in his gym, and they interview him there. They find an actor, and they go to his house, and they interview him there, right? So they come up with their own idea for a show. And he's going to use this short film to sell the idea. On the side, unrelated to all that shit, he got in trouble at his job because he's a New York Times writer. He works for the New York Times Magazine. Mm-hmm. Got in trouble for an interview he did, and then some tweets he sent out. It led to him getting fired after a couple years. So then, while he's trying to make this short film, his career is going down in flames. And then the documentary, which started to be about the making of the show, turned into a movie about his job. And then he used the scenes that they shot for the short film as like recreations for the documentary. So the movie uses the fake scenes that they shot, real scenes, interviews. It's a mix of weird, all these things. And then the movie becomes an expose about how the relationship with the New York Times with their advertisers and how they're putting the money above journalistic integrity and all this stuff. It's fascinating.
Is it coming out?
Eventually. This was the first time it played anywhere. So it's going to have to play at all the festivals. It's going to get, you know, some steam. I'm thinking it would be a good movie for HBO to pick up.
Okay.
You know, it'd be a good HBO documentary. Netflix should have it eventually. It'll be out there soon enough. It's called The Desk. Really fascinating. Really weird, well-made movie. And it's this guy's first movie. He was just a journalist, you know, a writer. And he decided, I'm going to put this out. And it's good. It's really good. I definitely recommend it. Saw this other documentary called Welcome to Leith, which is about, this one's crazy, baby, like, get this. There's this town in North Dakota called Leith. Population, 24. 24 people live in this town. But it's a full town. They got a town council, a mayor, all that stuff, right? This crazy white supremacist racist dude named Craig Cobb saw this town, and he started buying up pieces of land within the town so that he could sell all those buildings to other white supremacists, and then they were going to turn the town into a haven for Nazis, neo-Nazis, just like the worst people in the world. Yeah. The people that lived in that town, those 24 people, they're like, oh, hell no. You're not moving into our town, and you're going to convert into, like, Hate City USA. So the whole movie is about the fight between these people trying to move in and then the people that live there trying to get them out. And the thing is that with the movie, the documentary, the people that made the film, they were there. They were there the whole time. Like, once the guys moved in, all the craziness happened, the cameras are there. So it's not like we're being told about it. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it happen right in front of us. And it got to a point, the movie gets so tense that I was like, one of these dudes that lives in this town, they're going to go over there and just shoot this Craig Cobb guy right in the fucking face. And it's going to be on camera. It's going to be in this movie. I know what's going to happen. That's how tense the movie got. Really, really good. That's definitely going to be like on Netflix or something like that. Directed by two people. One of them, a graduate of, I think, UF. Either UF or FSU.
Oh.
And then the other one, a graduate of UCF.
Local boys.
Oh,
that's good, man.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then the final movie I saw yesterday, I went with Drew Sicogburn, and we saw this movie called Results. Not a documentary.
Weird little movie.
A weird little movie. Sort of a romantic comedy.
Maybe.
Like an indie romantic comedy.
Of sorts.
It's about a couple of personal trainers. A dude and a girl who, like, they're just doing their own thing, so they're not really compatible with each other, but they like each other, but they're not together. And then this dude moves to town, Austin, Texas, and he's an eccentric, rich guy, and he injects himself into their lives and shakes things up.
Craziness ensues.
Uh-huh. I thought it was funny, you know?
It was funny enough.
Definitely a movie that's going to be, like, a Netflix-type thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to get, like, a lot of... be put in a lot of theaters, but it'll come out eventually. It's got Guy Pearce, who from LA Confidential and Ravenous, and what was Iron Man 3. You see Iron Man 3?
Yes.
The bad guy from Iron Man 3. The guy that glowed from the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude. He's one of the trainers. And
Kobe Smulders from the Avengers.
Yeah. Who, she played some random chick. Yeah. I have no idea. But she's from the Avengers movies. And it was a good movie. It was cool. I liked it.
Not bad.
Not crazy for it.
That last movie you were talking about everybody moving into
the
town.
The Racist. And, right. Welcome to Leith.
Kind of sound like that movie with Matt Damon trying to bring the oil company in, and the town was fighting it. In
Gasland? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Gasland? I think no. Northland? No. I know exactly what you're talking about. Something like that. Yeah, it is the same thing where, someone wants to come in and just push the town over and do what they want, and then the people are there like, you know, we have to fight back somehow. And instead of gas and fracking,
they had high school and elementary and all that with 24 people.
No, they would have to go to another town. Okay. Yeah, to the next town over. They only had one business in the entire within the city limits, and it was some sort of bar. Nice. some old lady who ran a tiny little shitty bar. And since it's the only place in town, all the people there, that's where they would go.
Yeah.
That's where they would congregate and drink and talk and stuff. Yeah, it's an interesting movie. And then the way it's done, too, it's kind of like a horror film where, like, the movie starts and it's shots of buildings that are all run down and fucked up and overgrown fields. Like, it's North Dakota, the middle of nowhere. It looks desolate and sad. And then the music is all, like, really ominous.
And now there's a killer with a knife.
Yes, like, you expect the killer to come running out of the shadows, like, ah, I'm coming to get you, you know? But the evil is far more sinister because it's... just the worst racist. The most racist fucking people. It's disturbing how racist some of these people get. It's really sad, actually. So, Florida Film Festival. And you know what's crazy, too? I see a lot of movies all the time. I go to movies all the time. After a few years of doing the film festival, the worst audiences are Florida Film Festival audiences.
Oh, yeah. They're terrible.
They're the most obnoxious people. The first movie I saw, like, I sat down in my seat. The theater wasn't even full. It was, like, two-thirds full, right? I sat down in my seat, like... there was 1, 2, 3 empty seats from the aisle, and then me. And I'm off to the left, not even in the middle. Just as the movie's starting, three people come in, and they sit down, like, right next to me. There's a whole empty row in front of me. There's empty seats everywhere, and they sit right fucking next to me. And I'm like, what the... So I get up, and I move over one seat so I can have a little bit of breathing room. I don't have this old man on top of me. And then when the movie's over, I'm, like, ready to get up and go. I got shit to do, and they're just sitting there. Like, what? Like, you're going to make me climb over you, motherfuckers? And then we went to another movie. The movie Drew and I went to twice during the movie. We heard some guy yell off to the right.
Turn off your fucking phone.
Yeah, we're in the left of the theater. Off to the right, we heard some guy yell, shut off your fucking phone. Like that. Like, he's yelling at someone else all the way down there. I couldn't see the phone. I didn't give a fuck. And he's got to be yelling out that. People, listen. If someone's using the phone, you don't want them to use it, go find a volunteer. Find a theater employee. Have them handle the situation. Don't yell out in the darkness, shut off your fucking phone, like you're so tough.
Is this at the end?
This is at Winter Park. Winter Park.
Okay.
Because they split it up between the Enzion and the Winter Park. This is at the Winter Park. But it's the same people. Same goddamn audiences. And I had the same problem in the past. At past film festivals, people are usually drunk. A lot.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Drunk moviegoers, they get loud, and it's just like, have some respect. Have some respect for the art form.
What movies are you looking forward to seeing at this festival?
There's a movie coming out on Friday called Kumiko the Treasure Hunter. Uh-huh. This is a crazy setup. All right. You know Fargo.
Right.
Okay. Remember in Fargo, there's a scene where they have the briefcase of money and he buries it in the snow, right? There was a story, I don't know now, it might be an urban legend, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a story from like 15 years ago about a Chinese lady who saw Fargo, thought it was real, went to America, to North Dakota, and went looking for the money that was buried in the snow, thinking it would still be out there, and then she froze to death and died. This movie is like a sort of fake retelling of that possible story about a Chinese girl who finds a unmarked VHS. She watches it. It's Fargo. She doesn't know it's fake.
Right.
And then she goes looking for the money. And it looks weird.
That's not all right, right?
Right? Yeah, it's a weird one. And it's based on a movie in real life. It's a strange mix of things.
I kind
of
like that.
So that's playing a couple times this weekend coming up. And then there's a comedy that was written, produced, directed, and starring the same guy. He did everything himself, and it cost him $12,000 to make this movie.
Mm.
And it's called I Am a Knife with Legs.
Sounds crazy.
That sounds weird as hell. I Am a Knife with Legs. I have no idea what it's about. No idea what it's about. I'm going to go see that. Because it sounds weird as hell. Yeah. It's probably going to be terrible. But I'm going to go see it.
I'm a knife with legs.
I'm a knife with legs.
I wonder how long it took them to come up with that. Because like I said, the title is the hardest
part.
That's
the hardest part. And that's an intriguing title. That one got me in the door.
What you thinking about Poltergeist?
I'm fine with it. I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A straight up remake.
It does look like a pretty straightforward remake of it. Like they're not going to do anything really new, obviously, other than like update the special effects.
Yeah.
I think the clown in this one, the toy clown, is a little creepier than the original clown.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The one that comes after the kid and tries to choke him. And the trailer's like, oh my God, that clown looks scary.
I'm just pretty much going to see the differences and see what's alike.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of doing it again?
Right.
Right? I mean, the Poltergeist is a good movie. But, you know, it's produced by Sam Raimi. The guy does good horror. Like, he produced Drag Me to Hell. You ever see that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like Drag Me to Hell a lot. You know, it could be good. And I like Sam Rockwell. Yeah, the guy who's playing the dad this time around.
He's in town.
Do you think this movie might have a curse on it like the last one?
Oh, where the actor,
you know, everybody
like the kid died. Yeah. From the, like the second
one. A lot of people died
died
from that movie.
Yeah, maybe not. Hopefully not. Hopefully they won't shoot the film over Indian burial ground of some sort. You know.
Yeah, that's what the urban legends was.
Yeah, the house is built on the burial ground, right? And then making the movie about it was killing people.
I know the girl died. Carolyn, she died. The mom died.
Like the old man from the second one, he died. But he was also like an old man. Yeah. He was sick anyway. But still, he died.
The sister died. Dana. Whatever.
Yeah, like 10 years died. Later or something. But still, yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
The curse of Poltergeist, people.
Craig T. Nelson's still going, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God for that, Craig T. Nelson. They're bringing back Coach, the TV show.
No.
Yes. Yes, they're bringing back the TV show Coach.
And Craig T. Nelson was just in the movie I just saw with, he's in the Will Ferrell movie and Kevin Hart.
He really
plays the dad.
He's in Get Hard?
Yeah.
He's in a lot of movies. If you look up his IMDb, the list of movies is long for Craig T. Nelson. It's weird. The guy's been everywhere. You don't even know it.
Yeah.
Secret movie star, Craig T. Nelson. All right, I got a couple of movie news here real quick. You a fan at all, baby, like, of Stephen King stories?
Yeah. Stephen King, never mind. It, all that, yeah.
Yeah, it, right, exactly. He has a book series called The Dark Tower,
mm-hmm.
and it's seven books. You heard of it? It's like, let's do a mixture of, take a Clint Eastwood Western, mix that with Lord of the Rings, with a little bit of science fiction, with a little bit of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Mix all these things together, and you have The Dark Tower. A really weird, crazy story, right? They've been trying to make it into a movie for a while. All seven books. They've been trying to develop it. Sony is finally going to do it. They have the rights to it. And the plan is, tentatively, right now, they're going to make movies out of books 1, 2, and 3. So they're going to have a trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then for books 4, 5, 6, and 7... they're going to split all that up into a TV series.
Interesting.
So it's going to start as a movie series and then finish off on TV. For a little while, Javier Bardem was cast in the lead role, but all the actors have been, from the previous iterations, have been dropped. So they're looking for a director, they're looking for actors, they're writing new scripts, but they're fast-tracking this and they're hoping to get this made. The first one's going to be called The Gunslinger. I love that book. An amazing way to start the series. I hope it makes a good movie. I hope it's good.
Are they going in order? That's the order?
Yeah, yeah. Right. The first one's called The Gunslinger, and it's about, that one's the most straightforward Western of all of them, and it's about our main dude, his name is Roland, and he's trying to track down Walter, the Man in Black, and he's tracking him through the desert, and the Man in Black is like a wizard, and he's trying to catch him to get the answer for whatever he needs, and then along the way he meets a boy, and it becomes a very significant relationship throughout the whole story, and he comes to a town where he has to like kill everyone in the town. It's crazy. It's good. It's good stuff. He's a gunslinger. Yeah. It's Clint Eastwood in Lord of the Rings.
Sounds okay. Awesome.
Now they're making that Aquaman.
Oh,
right.
With Jason Momoa. It's scheduled to come out July 27, 2018. They already have a release date for Aquaman 2018.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers wants their director to be James Wan, who's the guy who just did Furious 7. Mm-hmm. And before that, he did The Conjuring. Both those movies, huge financial hits, right? And then before that, he's the guy who invented the Saw series. He did the very first Saw movie, and then other people have taken that ball and they ran with it, right? So he's an in-demand director right now out there in Hollywood. Warner Brothers, they have a deal with him, an overall deal, where anything he wants to develop, he takes it to them first, and anything that they have, they want to put him in on it. because they love him. He's the only person at Warner Brothers with such a deal, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. The only director to have that deal. So they said, Warner Brothers come out and said, we want him for Aquaman, for sure. Could be.
Who's playing
Jason Momoa? This guy, the guy from the Conan the Barbarian remake and the first Game season.
Well, he gotta have blonde hair by then. So
no, they're going with a dark haired dude.
Yeah.
They're not
white beard.
Yeah, he's got dark hair and beard. I think he's Hawaiian. This guy.
I'll say they're not going with a traditional.
No, they're going with a big dark badass Aquaman.
Well, they're more of the newer generation of Aquaman, because Aquaman, he grew a beard, he lost an arm, and has a spear. He's kind of a badass.
Aquaman
now.
Has a spear arm now?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I want to see Aquaman with a spear arm. That's pretty cool.
He's not lame like he is in Robot Chicken.
Yeah, dude, like we're Super Friends.
Yeah.
He was pretty lame on Super Friends.
Of course,
Aquaman.
Was.
But now he's going to be a badass Aquaman. That's the plan.
Have you seen this Batman versus Robin?
Batman versus Robin?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, I gotta check this out.
What is that?
I don't know. It's Batman versus Robin.
Is it animated?
It kind of looks.
Because they're always doing animated Batman stuff. They crank that out.
Yeah, they do. So this is Batman versus Robin. Batman you versus might Robin. Look it up. I don't. But it's.
Ooh, but they're buddies. They can't be against each other.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know what's going on. I gotta watch it.
They're doing for next year. They're doing an animated Batman movie that's based on the '60s TV show,
mm-hmm.
and Adam West and Burt Ward. They got the original Batman and Robin. Doing the voices for Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's straight.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
But it's going to be that style where it's all like kapow, bam, bam. It's going to be like, it's going to be that kind of Batman. That'll be cool.
I don't think young kids going to like that. We'll like it.
Maybe really young kids, like under 7.
Yeah.
I think under, like dumb kids would like it. And then, probably. Like you said, then people that are older that understand it's absurdist and where it's coming from, we'll like it. But yeah, teenagers, they're so cynical. they want their Dark Knight. You know, the kids aren't, well, those kids, the cynical kids aren't going to want to see this. The 7 and unders are going to want to see this. They are making a Power Rangers movie. It's about time they brought back the Power Rangers. Power Rangers were huge for a while. Yeah, yeah. It was gigantic.
I mean, gigantic. I know it was huge, but still, does it warrant a movie in 2015?
I don't think it does, but it's happening, my friend. It's happening.
They're bringing out the Camouflage Ranger, this one.
Okay.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Sweet.
A mix of all the colors. Yeah. The guy who did the Project Almanac movie that came out earlier this year.
Oh,
the teens time traveling movie. It was an okay movie. It was not bad. He's going to get to direct the Power Rangers film. So keep an eye out for that one, people.
I mean, I'm sure the Japanese made an actual Power Rangers film that they could just redub.
Right? Isn't that how they do it anyway?
It's how, well, yeah.
I want to see
that new Voltron.
I've been dying for a new. I want to see an actual Voltron movie. I mean, they do Transformers movies. Why not give us a Voltron movie, right?
Yeah.
That should work just fine. Also. They put out a picture of a Battle Cat from He-Man.
Yeah. Oh.
They're doing a He-Man movie. But
yeah, I heard about
that one looks like it's going to be like a 300 style.
Yeah, seriously.
Looks so over the top. It's going
to
be ridiculous.
I can't wait to see Super Evil Skeletor.
Super Evil Skeletor. Yeah, Skeletor's going to be a badass, dude.
Dude, if that's what Battle Cat looks like, imagine what Skeletor's going to look like.
I got to make sure I stay alive for these movies.
I always think about that, baby. Yeah. Like, whenever I find out about a movie that's scheduled to come out, in like a year or two, I think about that dude. I'm like, man, I hope I don't die before that comes out. I literally think.
Yeah, I mean, you said 2018 for Aquaman. I'm like, man, how about I make it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see the Justice League movies.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out in 2017. Come on, body. Don't give that on me just yet. All right, here we go. It's time for some lightning round goodness. So here we go. Where's that thing here? I got to
press the button.
I got to press the button. There.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Baby like, sir.
All right.
Lightning round time. I got 10 questions here. You are going to answer them as quickly as you can. We're going to learn just a little bit more about our world's favorite DJ.
Okay.
Juicy Cogburn, please start the clock.
Go.
Number one. Have you ever gone cow tipping?
No.
Number two, do you prefer baths or showers?
Baths.
Oh, number three, what is the one food item you would never give up?
Whoppers.
Number four, what was your favorite toy as a kid?
He-Man.
Number five, what do people in China call their good plates?
Japan.
Why is a boxing ring square?
To keep you from rolling out.
Number 7, is French kissing in France just called kissing?
Yes.
Number 8, have you ever had an imaginary friend?
Yes.
Number 9, if you were a worm, how long would you be?
18 inches.
And number 10, on a scale of 1 through 5, how afraid of the dark are you? 1 being the least, 5 being the most.
Probably about 3.
Okay. Fair enough. It's a situational scared of the darkness, really, is what it is.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. There you go. Thank you very much, Baby Lack, for answering the questions. It's time now for some swag baggery. Got two bags right there next to you. Got the pink bag with the polka dots and the white bag with the other polka dots.
All right.
Pick one, sir, and point it out to Drusa Cogburn.
Go to the pink one.
Taking the pink bag. Drew, please break out the pink bag and let Baby Lack know what he gets to go home with today.
Sir, you are the new proud owner of Flame and Sense. Just great air freshener. Oh, it's got a flaming skull on it.
Flaming skull air freshener.
Going in the car.
We have a plush ice cream cone with a smiley face on it.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet.
There's a dolphin squirt gun.
Oh, yes.
Oh, water gun. There you go. Take that to Cleo's.
We got you a copy of The Spirit on DVD.
The Spirit. Frank Miller's with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. I saw that.
Makes a bunch of jokes about eggs. It's weird.
We've got you a copy of the book Saint City Sinners. Hell has nothing on Saint City.
There you go. Oh.
And a plethora of Cinema Crespo Diso stickers.
And a whole bunch of our Cinema Crespo Diso stickers, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I see those around town pretty much everywhere.
Hell yeah. All right. So, Drew, pack that bag up for Baby Lack because he has a decision to make. Baby Lack, you get to take this bag home like you've taken home previous bags. Or we put the bag away off to the side. You never see it again. And instead, you take what's in the box behind Drusa Cogburn.
Take the bag.
Go with the bag. Yeah. All right. Not even thinking about it. Just taking the bag.
Yeah, take the bag.
Congratulations, Baby Lack.
Well, I hope it's not a Ferrari in that box.
The Ferrari can't fit in the box.
No, but the keys to a Ferrari.
But the keys can fit in the box. Ah, yes, there you go. Shut that off. All right, well, Baby Lack, thank you so much for coming on, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're the best. Drusa Cogburn, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
And thank you for listening, everyone. That was episode 118. Remember to support R-rated movies. Keep your money under your mattress. And do all your shopping at sbklog.fm/Amazon. Peace out.